participant of FLIP and is here to support. And so if you have questions and if I can't answer them, I'm sure there'll be plenty of other people in this room who know about FLIP. There was only so much room on the slide to list a few of the authors, but really FLIP is a very big project, as you will find out. And I'm not a big fan of acronyms, but to say Public Health Laboratory Interoperability Project every time you want to talk about it is probably not the best way, so FLIP seemed a much more appropriate thing to do. So I want to start out a little bit talking about the flavors of electronic messaging, because there's several acronyms floating around and I just want to make sure that we all understand or use the acronyms for the same meaning of things. I'm going to give you an overview of FLIP, its vision, who's part of FLIP, structure and goals, and what we've done so far, and then I'm going to go into more detail on how we actually did it, and the decisions we made, and just in the end, I'm going to point out why it's important for anybody who's doing any electronic messaging to keep an ear on other projects to know what else is going on outside. So FLIP came up with the term electronic laboratory messaging, and that is to mean that it's any lab-related electronic data exchange. So any data you want to send from one lab to another, or from a lab to the provider, or from a lab to public health, for example, would fall under electronic laboratory messaging. But FLIP is starting with just data exchange between public health laboratories, state public health laboratories at this point in time. Then, of course, there's also the acronym ELR floating out there, electronic lab reporting. That's been around for a long time, and that's the reporting of results for reportable diseases from all labs, so that's hospital, commercial, and public health labs, to the state EPI. And then if it's a nationally notifiable disease, the EPI will report it on to the public health people at CDC. And there's electronic case reporting, so the physicians are also required to report case-related information to state EPI and de-identified onto CDC for nationally notifiable diseases. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but these are the definitions from the CSD position statement. Reportable kind of refers to conditions reportable to state or local public health, dependent on the local or state jurisdictions, and notifiable kind of refers to anything reported to CDC from the health departments. And CSTE wants to point out that it's not just the infectious diseases. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about reportable diseases, probably to most of you, but there are also other conditions, chronic conditions or injuries or newborn screening that, you know, should be considered. So what is FLIP doing? FLIP is working on these two flavors of electronic lab messaging. The first one is the electronic lab surveillance message, and that is kind of similar to what ELR is doing. It is NND-related result from the state public health lab directly to CDC EPI. And this is for influenza, is what we picked as the first pilot to go see if we can even get this thing off the ground and to see if we can, you know, make the guys talk to each other. Ultimately, our real goal for FLIP is to get electronic test order and result messaging going, and ETOR for short, I guess. And so that combines test requests and results between state public health lab and the CDC labs, test requests and results between submitters locally, and test requests and results between different state public health labs, for example, for surge, for reference testing, or for continuity of operations planning. So the vision of FLIP is to achieve bidirectional laboratory data exchange, both between state public health labs with the CDC and for the state public health labs with local partners. And the goal, obviously, of going towards electronic data exchanges to improve the data quality and accessibility and the timeliness of that data availability and to improve data sources for surveillance purposes. FLIP also is looking to, in every step we do, we try to find a process that we can document and then hopefully apply to other projects and processes in the future. So for those of you who are more visual, this is the current scope of FLIP with the test order and test result between state public health labs being our next step, and state public health lab reporting to CDC EPI. Ultimately, we hope that the effort that FLIP is doing on these communications will allow us to also reach out to the local and commercial and hospital labs in each state. So who all is FLIP? So FLIP gets support from CCID and NICFI and the Association of Public Health Laboratories. They provide expertise funding and data and laboratory SMEs to us. And the public health labs in California, Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Virginia also do that. They give us their lab SME time, and they give us their IT person time and their data SMEs time. So it's quite a big group. So really, the three pieces of FLIP is the first and most important one to, and near and dear to my heart, is the harmonization of vocabulary and messaging guide, where we actually spend quite a bit of time talking about the actual tests that are done, results that are being exchanged, and making sure that if two labs are saying they're doing the same test, they truly are the same test, and we can assign the same code to them. And then using that collection of information, creating a tool and putting it in the message guide so other people can use it. Once we have that, we're trying to actually demonstrate that the tools we produce actually help. So we'll work on implementing production level messages. And as part of all of this, we're trying to build collaboration and cross-project fertilization. So that's when my antennas start growing, right? So FLIP has an executive committee at the top that reports or directs the steering committee. And both the executive committee and the steering committee have stakeholders from all four, representation from all four stakeholders. At the executive committee, these stakeholders, these representatives come from the high level that have governance level influence. So they can make decisions about funding and the direction of FLIP. And then they can direct the steering committee that its members have a more technical, are at a more technical level that'll help guide the working groups, which we have quite a few of. The first one's the vocab and messaging, which about the work that they produce, I talked about yesterday. So this is where the vocabulary harmonization takes place and the creation of the message guide. The next group is the messaging implementation work group, which is what I'm going to talk to you about today. We have a state-to-state, or really it's a public health lab working group as a forum for public health labs to air their ideas and bring up issues that they might be having. And then we also looked at how is it going to work. Right now FLIP is 7 states, and it's fairly easy to do a peer-to-peer connection between 7 states, but if you look at the future and you want to connect 50 states to 50 states, your peer-to-peer connections are going to exponentially increase. So we had a work group that looked at the architecture and how we in the future could make FLIP more scalable. And as one of the results of this work group, they came up with the idea of using hubs, regional hubs, to collect the data and then dole it out from there, so you didn't have to manage too many certificates. And so that's the R&R, or Route Not Read Hub, implementation work group that grew out of that. Okay, so to summarize the goals of FLIP is to kind of take a leader role in harmonizing vocabulary and messaging for test orders and test results specifically, to pilot sustainable architecture for the laboratory data exchange, and to send and receive test results from states to CDC. So we're currently sending test results to CDC in version 2.3.1, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. We're working on test orders and test results from state to state right now in version 2.5. We're working on the implementation guide. And ultimately, we're hoping to get test orders and test results sent from the state, and then the results back from the CDC, get the results back there. So as a harmonization goal, just to summarize real quick, we'll collect information about all tests, all the laboratory SMEs agree on the library of tests. We arrange them in a hierarchical fashion, and then assign the standard vocabulary flowing for the tests and SNOMET for the results. And that becomes the deliverable for that NND. It's the test category spreadsheet. So here's a timeline of what we've done, and on the bottom are the NNDs we've harmonized. And if you look at it, the influenza took, 3 months, and then TB took another 3 months. And then in the next 3 months, we managed to put a process together that let us harmonize three instead of just one. And we continued to use that process and kept working through multiple NNDs. So at this point in time, by the end of January, we had, I think it's 15 NNDs harmonized. That's about 70% of the workload in a public health lab. And at that point in time, we said, well, maybe we need to take a little break from vocabulary and start thinking about orders and linked result messages. And so we're currently focusing on that. On the top here, I've listed the timeline for the implementation of the influenza results from the state public health lab to CDC EPI. And so we started with making sure that everybody has FinMS connectivity and can send an HL7 message from their LIMS. And then in June of 2007, we published our first implementation guide and drafts of the mapping workbook and then coding guidelines. And the states used that to implement their messages and started sending messages that first were validated structurally and with content. And then we used staging and sent messages to the staging environment to make sure that the production messages actually can be read in FinMS and can be used in the database. And once DMB was production ready by the end of 2007, the state started sending, and by March 21st of this year, 4 of 6 states sent production data to CDC EPI successfully for this last flu season. So the first value use case, the one that we've actually implemented, is this, is the laboratory surveillance case. We have these 4 states in production, and these 3 states are in testing, and they're hoping to be ready for the next influenza season. So the public health lab has a flu result that they need to send out. It gets sent to NICFI and via FinMS, and then DMB takes it and provides the data in the format that the EPI for the influenza division branch can use for their surveillance. Hello. Okay. So so this is the FLIP toolkit that we've developed, and I'm going to go through these relatively quickly. So the thing that we heavily use is SharePoint, and this is the first site you get to, and then you have to pick which of the work groups or committees you want to work in, or if you want to need to implement your influenza result message, then you go to this folder and it has all the tools that you need for that. Yes?
Is this publicly accessible on the
ATHL
website?
Not yet. We're working on that though, right? Okay. So how do we do this? The harmonization, we send out a test metadata collection sheet to the LabSME to fill out, and there's a lot of information that we ask them to fill out. And that is to make sure that we really know what tests they're doing and that we can be very sure that when we assign the same code to 2 different tests done in 2 different laboratories, that they are truly the same test. Here's a copy of the cover of our influenza guide. We're quite proud of it. As every implementation, we've learned there are bumps and lumps in the road. So we've actually have a new version that's going to come out fairly soon. So with every implementation, the first try around, you don't get it right all the time. So this is the influenza category sheet where we have multiple levels. And basically what these levels mean is that if you order a test at level 2, you could get results back on any of the levels below. And we've restricted ordering to like level 4. The lab said, well, we really don't need the outside people to be able to order very, very specific tests. We want to have a little bit of leeway in what kind of tests we want to do. And so these levels and this hierarchy helps us to develop the encoding guidelines. So what we do is we take the implementation guide and we take this category sheet for influenza, and then we say, okay, so how is my OBR going to look if I order this one test? And so the order code is OBR, goes in OBR4, so that code would go there. And then what kind of specimen value set am I allowed to use? Yes? Sure. How do I go back? Let's see. There you go. Got it. Okay. So level one is a very high level. The question basically is just tell me what it is. I don't care what test you do. Just, you know, detection and identification. Just tell me what it is. The next level down is a little more specific. Oops, I'm sorry. is a little more specific in terms of the question here is detection and isolation. So I want you to tell me what you can grow out of it. So it specifies that, you know, you're going to do a culture. And one of the vocabulary decisions that Flip made is that a culture is really a battery of tests. So the first step in a culture is the actual culture, the isolation part. But you don't stop there because you still don't know what you got. And so then you go on to do different tests. And one of those might be your antigen detection test, which might be an IFA for flu A. So if Charles, you know, you want to send me a specimen or you want to send Virginia a specimen, and all you care about what's in it, you would order this at this level, and then Virginia can send you back, okay, I did a influenza virus detection and identification test, or I did a, you know, just a general virus culture, and out of that, after doing an immunofluorescence, I found it was flu A, whatever type. Any other questions on that? So I take this hierarchy and kind of use that same example. Charles' order of just tell me what it is would go here, and then Virginia's answers of what I did to tell him what it is would go in the OBX. Three is the test that they actually performed, and the OBX5 is the result they got. And one of the things that we can do from the category sheet is that everybody's providing their results when they tell us what test they do. So we can then combine and create a result value set for that specific test so that we're pretty sure we know what the answers, what the possible answers are that we can get for each of the questions. And then when we have that, and this is what we actually hand out to the states to do, and we've inherited it from BioSense, is a mapping workbook where for each of the value sets, a state can put in their local vocabulary and the map flip vocabulary, and has the flip vocabulary here, so that at the end, when you've inputted all your local vocabulary, you run a macro and it produces a consolidated file of all your mappings that you can then import into Rhapsody. And I don't remember exactly what format it's in, so you can probably import it into other message brokers as well for mapping. So hopefully that'll make it a little easier to actually implement. So I think I already talked about this a little bit, but so we're collecting the data, we're using the encoding guidelines and the mapping workbook to map the local codes to the standards and implement the flip message profile, and then we create a draft message. And we're using weekly implementation calls to address issues and report progress, and John Lipsky has been facilitating that. We've talked about that. Those are the calls where we talk about if there's something going on with FinMS installation or if we're having any other issues. And then once everybody had tested connectivity to CDC using FinMS, we went through this testing process. So we tested whether we can send the test message with the correct routing. So that was more like a hello world kind of, it gets from state to CDC to EPI where it's supposed to go. We have the LIMS produce a message per the guide and vocabulary, and this message actually got emailed to both the DMB for structural validation and to EPI and the core vocabulary group for content validation. So we've looked at, did they really map the local codes correctly, and did they put the structure in correctly? once they got the okay that that is the case, I don't know what's going on, there you go. They started sending those HL7 messages via FinMS to DMB in a staging environment. So these are de-identified messages, but they are directly coming out of their LIMS. So they took messages that they got, de-identified them, and then sent them to staging. And once that was approved and all the issues worked out that we could figure out might come up, they went and moved over to production. So now they are sending production data to production environment. So I don't know if you can read that, especially not from the back of the room, but the slides are all on the web, so you can, if you like these kind of diagrams, you can enjoy them later. But basically, I put them in here just for the people that really want the detail on how did we go about validating who looked at what and how exactly did it work. One thing I want to point out is blue's the state, green is DMB, orange, well, which I think is this here, is EPI, it didn't turn out orange, and then yellow is the core vocab team. So then once we were in staging, it was mostly states to DMB to EPI to make sure it all works, and this is parallel production. So before we said to the states, okay, so you can quit reporting the way you've always before reported to us, we made sure that they sent messages to the production environment at the same time using their old method of reporting. So for example, if you were a Phyllis state, you kept filling out Phyllis and sending that data, and at the same time you were sending the same data to DMB. And also, if you didn't start at the beginning of the flu season, which obviously if we started in March with production, that's not the case, the states produced a backlog of files that they sent to DMB also for comparison to the other data that they've already submitted through Phyllis. Yes? That's DMB staging, yeah. But a lot of states also went through that and had a staging process before they moved their stuff to productions. But it was from their production servers, de-identified data to the DMB staging. Sure. DMB again is oh, data message brokering. Sorry, they sit at NICFI and Adam isn't here, is he? So there's a couple of people that are really very helpful at DMB that we couldn't have done it without. So so we used version 2.3.1, and I know some of you have questions about why did we do that. And it was because most of the states at the time, that's really the predominantly available version in a lot of the states, because the commercial labs haven't really moved to 2.3.1, and so the public health labs that already had or were doing some electronic messaging, that was the format that they were in. Our decisions were, of course, to stick to a standard whenever possible, to test the FinMS sender first, to set up staging and production environments to make sure that, you know, we don't start sending data that we can't understand. And to create a phased implementation. So we went one public health laboratory at a time. So the one that got us their message first got validated first. And then once that public health lab moved into staging, we'd looked at validated the next state. And we validated both structural and content validation. And before we discontinued the previous mode of reporting, we also looked at the backlog and looked at multi-messages. So we've learned a lot about how to make decisions, and we're documenting that in a document that's called the Primer, and it's going to get released to everybody pretty soon and to the next future 10 states tomorrow. And we hope that you know, we can make the primer available to you as soon as we can. We've learned that you'll have to make changes to both the vocabulary and the guide. You're never perfect at the beginning, no matter how hard you try. And for that, you need to create change control processes. So it's important to harmonize with other messaging initiatives, because otherwise you hear the labs going, so I send you this message, and then I have to send a different message there, and I have to use different vocabulary. Why is that? So that's when I started putting my antennae out and sitting in all the other calls. And in the process of agreeing to this implementation, every state had to make some changes to their LIMS in one way or another, or if not their LIMS, then at least their message brokers. So that is just a given. So if you want to embark on an implementation project, you have to just be ready for change, and nothing else is sure. Right? Change is going to happen is the one sure thing. And the other interesting thing that came out of mostly the SMEs talking to each other about each of the NNDs that we were discussing was that they actually changed the lab workflow in some cases. And so there's a lot of cross-pollination that happens that doesn't even have to do with electronic data exchange that I think is really very important. And last but not least, it's a reiterative process. So I've talked to the CDC EPI, and they did a survey after we've sent some data over, and they basically said it took a long time to get implemented. Took a lot of effort. But once we were done, it definitely decreased the time spent on the data processing, it increased the data quality, it increased the number of available data elements compared to previous reporting, and it increased the timeliness of the reports. And on the public health lab side, some of our state labs responded to her survey. It eliminated a lot of time spent on data entry into Phyllis or other reporting tools that they had to use before. So the challenges, the devil's in the details. Both messaging and vocabulary leave significant room for interpretation, hence there are so many different ideas of how to implement them. And there's a breadth, depth of expertise required, and they don't always reside in the same brain. So collaboration takes time. You just got to expect it's going to take some time. You find out that there's technical limitations. Some limbs you can't change the way you want, or some of the messaging applications don't quite want to do what you want to do. And of course, you know, there's competing priorities, meaning no money. So you got to go look and see if you can make your project the priority. And the infrastructure is evolving. So to leave you with what FLIP is planning for 2009, we have different swim lanes, and this is the laboratory surveillance, influenza surveillance message. We're planning to add 10 new states. This is the state-to-state order, and we're working on order and linked results for influenza surge right now. We've already harmonized those 15 NNDs, but we haven't completed creating all the tools, so we need to get back to that and get the encoding guidelines and the mapping workbook for all the NNDs done. And last but not least, work on the efforts to make our architecture more robust. So each message project covers a different use case, but all involve laboratory messaging, so there are many similarities, but there are also differences. But take advantage of the work done by other projects, and make sure you allow for the time it takes, and do talk to others to find out what they've already learned. Accept that it cannot be dictated from above. So what FLIP really is a collaboration of everybody who's involved, and so it's more like a grassroots project than a, okay, this is the way you guys do it. And in the long run, it will help improve the standards as well, because you know the people that make the standards haven't done it yet. So once we put it into practice, we can tell them, it's not working this way, we need to fix it. So any questions, you can contact either myself or Michelle. And sure. Mm-hmm. Use case? No, I'm referring to, for example, our use case for what we've implemented was the sending of influenza result from a state public health lab to CDC. So it's very restricted. It's from one organization, a state public health lab, to CDC epi is for one disease. When Austin is talking about ELR, he's talking about any state reportable disease from any lab in that state to that particular local or state health department that needs to go to. So that's a different use case. So you might require different data elements, you might require different things. So what I want to make sure is all the states worked on all of this together from the very beginning. The only thing that we phased was the actual implementation step. So having them send their messages for structural validation and content validation and then moving on to staging and production. That was the only step we, you know, used phases for, just because DMB and EPI would be overwhelmed if all six states started sending data to them. So in terms of how much changes each state have to make to accommodate FLIP, I'd have to put it out to the state. So. Yes. Yes, it's one implementation guide, and they use the same vocabulary. I mean, it's all that.
That might be different from a private lab structure.
Yes, yes, and it's the vocabulary is definitely different from the private lab to Austin's public health lab. Yeah. It's not at CCID, right? It's I don't know. It is at CCID. That's right. It's at the influenza branch division at CCID, and it's their database. I'm not quite sure the name of it. So, Christine, Lynette, anybody here? Okay.